Dr. Marketing Tips, paging Dr. Marketing Tips. Dr. Marketing Tips, you're needed in the marketing department.
Welcome to the Dr. Marketing Tips Podcast, your prescription to the answers you seek to grow your medical practice easier, better, and faster. This show is all about connecting practice administrators and medical marketing professionals with peers working in practices, learning from experiences, making mistakes, and sharing successes. Let's get started.
Hey there, welcome to the Dr. Marketing Tips Show. I am Jennifer.
And I'm Corey.
And today we're going to talk about some of the key takeaways from a conference that I just attended, where it was me, the one marketing person with a specialty in healthcare, with about 3,000 HR folks.
Yeah, so you went to the Transform 2024, right? That's what it was called?
Yep.
In Vegas.
Yeah, so periodically I will go to a conference that's outside of what we do every day, just so I can get fresh ideas, fresh perspectives of what's going on in other industries. So I saw this HR conference pop up on my feed and I thought, you know what, that one looks really good. There was some top-level organizations from an HR standpoint of how they are dealing with people culture issues, employee engagement, attracting the right type of new employees, how do they keep employees, dealing with culture. And I thought, this one's great, sign me up.
Yeah, and we've been talking for a long time about the growing sort of conglomeration of HR and marketing. So it makes sense to go to something like this because really to be successful in marketing today in a medical practice, you really need to sort of work hand in hand and walk side by side with HR. So
yeah, it's funny because the week before, so it's conference season. And the week before, I was presenting at a healthcare leaders conference talking about kind of the convergence between HR and marketing. And so it was already on in the forefront for me. And then I was like, man, if this conference on HR had only been beforehand,
right,
how much more that the practice administrators would have gotten. But you're right. In the last 5 years or so, at least from our side, we are, you know, every day our job is to attract and retain patients, to make the patient experience better, to make sure the digital front door is as shiny and clean and appealing as possible to any potential buyers, to make sure that people are fine in our practices. But more and more, we've been sucked into these conversations about how do you use the same tactics from a marketing perspective to attract and retain employees. And so it's all come together, and this is the time.
Yeah, I mean, I work very closely with a pretty large mental health organization. And at the beginning of this year, we were sort of setting up our roadmap for the year and laying out goals and what our plans were. And pretty early on, it was evident that we were going to have multiple tracks going. And technically, within their organization, we have more than one client. We have the marketing side. But the recruiting and the HR side, they also have numbers that they need to hit, and they are relying on marketing to help them hit those numbers and then boost retention and make sure that we're finding and keeping the right people.
So more and more it's coming together. Yeah, totally. You know how years ago I attended an orthopedic conference where I was at helping deliver a keynote with the CEO of a large ortho practice, mm-hmm. talking about the culture building things that we were doing pre-COVID, right. Marketing and HR working together on developing those programs.
Yeah, that's right. That was pre-COVID, huh? Yeah, that was 2019.
I feel like everything's either pre or post-COVID.
Wow. I didn't realize that was so long ago. That's,
yeah, it sure was.
That's crazy. Okay. So you went to this conference. I'm sure there was a ton of really awesome sessions. What were some of your kind of key takeaways as you were coming back from this thing?
Yeah, so a handful of things. Let's start with the importance of coaching, and not just coaching and mentoring, which is super important to mentor and coach up young people coming in or folks that maybe haven't been in a management role and things of that nature. But the real idea that I took from that is these HR folks saying, like, not only do we need to be very intentional about the type of mentoring opportunities, but we need to be really paying attention to the kind of the way that people receive information. Mm-hmm. And so this is where kind of marketing comes in. So traditionally, from an HR perspective, they might have a path for somebody to come in and get mentored at an organization and say, all right, you're starting at the front desk. And if you want to be in charge of all of the office managers, this is the path that you're going to take. Well, the person that may be coming through that front door and working, you know, at the front desk for the first time, they might be a young person who the way that they learn is through short form video. And so your traditional mentoring of face-to-face interaction or taking somebody to lunch or, you know, they reach a certain level and then they get thrown over here, it may not work for them. And so just like we would from a marketing perspective with little micro-learning environments, the same thing applies to looking at it generationally and coaching them and meeting them where they are, which might be short-form video, might be, you know, long white papers, might be one-on-one interactions, but really being intentional about doing that.
Interesting. Yeah, and that kind of builds off the idea, again, like we've been talking about since apparently pre-COVID times, of, you know, sort of creating video and then taking your employee handbook or your onboarding and turning that into video. So everyone sort of receives the same message in the same way. This sounds like the evolution of that, right?
So it's exactly the case.
Okay, interesting. I like that.
So another thing that I really that really resonated with me more so, and this isn't something new that we're just talking about at an HR conference, but it just was a different way it was said and explained. So really talking about the different approaches generationally. Mm-hmm. Now I'm Gen X. I'm very used to doing things on my own. I could be on my deathbed and I'm still going to get up and I'm going to get the job done. Like, that's just my nature. Mm-hmm. You're a millennial. Tell me if I'm right.
But I'm an older millennial.
You're an older millennial, but you're an old soul. Yeah. But you're a millennial and you're very much, you're going to be quick to adapt to technology. You are at the point where now you have a family, you know, and you want that consistency and you're willing to work hard, but you also want the true work-life balance or the option mm-hmm. of having work-life balance.
Absolutely.
Gen Z is a different breed. And Gen Z is the next group that we're hiring. Like they're the young folks that we have working for us right now, but they're also the next group for the next handful of years that are going to be in our workplaces. And
yeah, I feel like I'm a little bit of like old man yelling at the clouds, you know, but like it's such a weird position to be in, but I feel like I don't understand the kids these days. But that's exactly what you're talking about is when you're trying to, from an HR side, attract this young talent in a competitive environment, which is what we're in right now, you have to create something that is sort of, that is dynamic and that appeals to them, which kind of goes to what we were just talking about a little bit with like, maybe it's a short form video to show, hey, this is like a cool place to work and it's better than that stuffy old hospital over there.
Well, not even that. What I never realized is that Gen Z specifically, and then, so I never realized it before, but now I'm like, oh, that's what it means. They respond to kindness. Mm. They respond to receiving feedback a certain way.
Sure.
They have certain expectations, and they're almost 75% of Gen Z, when surveyed, say that work life, or actually life work balance, is more important than anything that you offer them in terms of benefit or career mm-hmm. advancement or things like that. And so when you think that, they want clear direction. They want to know exactly what their job is. They want to know they can turn it off at 5 p.m. Yeah. And they are coming at this with the mindset that they're coming into a gig economy. They may make it 6 months and that's okay.
Yeah.
And right. How do you adjust for that?
Yeah, because that's a great point, because the loyalty factor doesn't really play into it. It's sort of like, what is going to be the best situation for me? And if it's not that, I'm going to go find one that's a better fit, right? Which is part of the reason why so many practices struggle with such high turnover rates at these positions that typically have Gen Z workers in them.
So not totally only, to your point, not only do you need to show in your marketing materials that this is a fun and dynamic and interesting place to work, mm-hmm. but now you also need to really, really go through those mentoring and coaching programs for your managers, who are the most important people you've got, that your managers understand that Gen Z needs kind feedback, needs to feel nurtured and safe and in a safe environment, and that they're also not going to be there very long.
They need a leader, not a boss.
That's exactly it.
Good for them.
And I feel like I could go both. I could have my foot in that leadership canoe, and I can have my foot in that boss canoe. But I will be a leader until I need to be a boss.
Yeah, and that's.
And sometimes they need a boss.
Yeah, right. That's what I was going to say. Is again, that's the old man yelling at cloud at me, and I'm like, well, or you could just suck it up because sometimes you got to do what you got to do. But that's differences in generations.
And our generations are very different.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. And I feel like we talked about it till we're blue in the face, but I needed someone else from a different industry
absolutely
saying it to me. And I was like, amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So the next thing that we talked about that I thought was really good is just how important feedback is. And so a lot of these HR folks and really large organizations were talking about not just doing feedback once a year, you know, providing a path for ongoing feedback, and also using feedback to drive employee engagement.
Sure.
So using feedback, you know, positive feedback to let people know that, you know, it's not just once a year that you get the pat on the back, but you get it throughout the year and recognizing one another. One example that somebody stood up and shared, which I really like patted myself on the back for this one, is they were sharing how every year they do 360 reviews with all their employees, and that they had a CEO of a very large company decide that in order to bring down the barriers and really kind of level set everything and start building in on that trust, that he would share his 360 review with the entire team.
I like that.
I thought that was great. That's something that we've been doing for a handful of years. Yeah. Every year before we share the details of how our reviews are going to work, I have my review that comes in from everybody on the team, and I share where my faults are and the things that I'm going to work on. And they were talking about the level of trust building that goes into that and how good that was for their teams. And so it was just sharing examples like that.
Yeah, and I mean, it makes sense because, right, like everybody wants to feel valued and heard and know that they're appreciated. And again, going back to what we were just saying about leaders, not bosses, if you sort of lead by example and say that, like, you know, full transparency, this is where I'm at and these are the things that I have to work on, I think that speaks volumes for an organization. And for us, we've done that for years, but again, working with all the practices that we work with, I know for a fact they do not do that, especially at the top. You know, that never makes it down to your front desk people, sort of bottom of the totem pole, if you will.
Yeah, and every session I went to, there was some level of discussion about artificial intelligence, everything, and a couple of ideas came back on the feedback side of things. Just using the example, like feedback starts like pre-job interview. Mm-hmm. And so you could take all of the frequently asked questions that you get in an HR process of hiring, put those into a chatbot, and start cultivating that relationship with potential hires ahead of time and give them the feedback. And, you know, and like, you know, how many days a week am I expected to work? Well, according to our policy, this is what you're expected. Like just going through and starting that process early on.
Yeah, I like that idea. And I think what that would do too is that would kind of have like a secondary effect of it'll help you find a really good candidate, because if they have gone through that process, they have asked the chatbot all the basic questions, that means when they get to you in the interview, if they're good, they're going to have really rich, unique questions that require a human. And if they're not worth the hire, they're going to ask how many days they need to be there.
Yep, exactly.
Right? So
exactly.
That's an extra layer there. That's interesting. So it helps sort of identify
And they even took it as far as saying like they're using AI for frequently asked questions or almost using it as their policies and like as their mentor. And so like, let's say somebody comes on board and, you know, they want to know what the policy is for something, or they want to know like, where can I find this file? Well, they've entered, in some cases, large organizations have entered all of this into a chatbot where a new hire can get immediate feedback based on everybody else's feedback that they've had over the years. So, you know, just interesting way of looking at technology to provide feedback.
Well, and I think there's an efficiency play there too, because a lot of times, you know, in the smaller to mid-size healthcare practices that we work with, they'll have, for example, an intranet built on SharePoint, and they say, well, yeah, all that stuff is there. It's under the links tab or whatever. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it takes time to go find those things. And for some employees, they're going to look for those answers while they're on the clock because they had something popped in their mind, and they're going to go look and try and find it, and they can't find it. And all of a sudden it's, you know, lunchtime, time to clock out, and you lost an hour.
So that kind of leads me to a thought. most of these companies are getting away from SharePoint. Mm-hmm. They are starting to use, whether it's different companies or build it internally, but they're starting to try to incorporate more video. Yeah. Because, you know, people are used to a feed, a social media feed. And so if they can incorporate short form video, comments, little plugins with, you know, quizzes and things like that, chatbots and whatnot, it creates a feedback loop versus being stuck into a SharePoint.
Yeah, I mean, I remember one practice Slack. That we work with. Yeah, exactly. That would be great. I remember one practice that we work with. They tried to roll out like a CEO email. And the first one that they did was so long. I don't know if anyone read the thing. Mm-hmm. And then...
But had they just done a quick video?
Right. You get the same information out there and people actually would have paid attention to it. Did they, while you were there, did they talk any about the like mental health crisis and sort of what's going on?
Yeah, so mental health, well, I felt like every other conversation was around AI, Gen Z, and mental health.
That makes sense.
And mental health just being, you know, we've got a generation now coming in with the highest level of anxiety that we've ever had. It goes back to the kindness factor and just being able to recognize mental health issues within our employees. There were some suggestions about working with local mental health organizations, like creating relationships so that you can not only help your employees, but you can train your managers and whatnot on how to spot certain things mm-hmm. and coach on it. So what I thought was interesting is HR really, multiple people said, HR is not only a primary care physician, but a mental health counselor. Because the very first person that people go to is your HR team. And so if you could use partnership like we do from a marketing perspective all the time to partner with mental health providers in the community and then offer that level of training or feedback or guidance through local providers, then you've got a win-win for your practice and for them.
Yeah, and I think that part of the challenge there and from the conversations that I've had with some of our clients about, you know, even offering some sort of like mental health assistance, or sometimes they'll call that an EAP, mm-hmm. which is an employee assistance yep. program. The problem, and it kind of falls back to marketing and sort of how we're intertwined now, is employees don't know that exists.
That was a big conversation point because yeah. you have all these EAPs, right? You have all these benefits, and a lot of times employees don't even know what benefits you've got, even to the point that your HR people don't even realize what benefits you've got.
I had a conversation with somebody earlier this week who is in HR, and I asked for a list of benefits, and she was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
So that's exactly the yeah. case. And so what they were saying is, if you already have an EAP, right, and you already have a mental health like component, marketing is great for extrapolating that and then using our communication skills to start sharing what those benefits are. Marketing can also start tying you to HR folks, mm-hmm. or to your tech people to help kind of bridge a gap as it relates to using AI and taking those benefits and creating benefit bots during the sign-up season so that people can understand how it works. And then saying, well, we have this mental health benefit. How can we take this and turn it into educational content, communicate it with our employees, and then potentially partner with somebody at a local level to be able to offer lunch and learns and things like that, yeah. all related to mental health.
Yeah. And then you can like double down on AI. So we kind of talked about it there with like the benefit piece. Then you've also got the education piece with the chatbots. And I think when, you know, if you zoom out a little bit, so that's all sort of retention based. But if you're talking about attraction, then you can also create, you know, the targeted recruitment campaigns and those things to help get more people in, make it personalized for them without adding like a ton of work to your plate. And again, that's just another example of how HR and marketing sort of, you know, it's a DNA strand at this point.
Yeah, it absolutely is. It totally is. And I think, you know, marketing is paying attention to a lot of the AI out there, from at least AI in terms of like communication and like making inefficiencies in terms of communication. So it just makes sense to bring it all together mm-hmm. to, you know, use it to communicate with employees.
Yeah, that's a really great point, is that marketing does pay attention to how to effectively use these channels and what's changing and what's available. That's not HR's job. So typically what I find in the conversations that I have is they're familiar with sort of the nuts and the bolts of what has to happen and how you can say certain things, but not how to blast that message out. So that's, again, why it makes such like a strong partnership between the two.
No, absolutely. And then kind of the big last kind of takeaway is just talking about culture building in general. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of times HR is where culture building activities fall on. And I just think it makes so much sense to get marketing involved, because we can take the story, we're storytellers. We can take the story of a practice, turn that into a marketing message, and use that to attract new employees, to help reinvest in the culture, to reinforce what's going on, you know, to use positive employee experiences to then drive positive patient experiences. It just makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that's something where a lot of organizations just sort of, especially if it's an HR-led initiative, through no fault of their own, they fall down there, because that's just, you know, that's not their purview. They're not paying attention to those kinds of things. I was talking to a client of ours. I just had a meeting with them on Monday, just a couple days ago. And they are doing this really fantastic community walk. And I said, this is great. Have you ever done any social leading up to the walk to say that you're going to be there? Or what do you do after the fact with the leads that you get from the walk? And they were like, oh, well, I want to do that. That sounds great. I never thought about doing that. So it's just one of those things where, you know, it makes sense to sort of bring all the right people to the table, have the discussion, and then just by the nature of having the right players there, you're going to see improvements, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, the big takeaways here is that, you know, different generations have to receive information and give information differently, and we just have to keep that in mind. AI is changing human resources and employee engagement just as much as it's changing revenue cycle management and marketing. And then, you know, finally, culture building isn't just one department or another. It's all of us. And so marketers and storytellers should be involved in that culture building to help reinforce those messages. And I think you said it right. Marketing and HR, we are now the same DNA strand. We're intertwined completely.
Yeah. I mean, we talk so much about the patient experience, and now we need to talk about the employee experience as well, and how that collaboration, it comes together. And then as a result of that, everyone is better off.
You don't have one without the other.
Yeah,
you don't.
Absolutely.
Employee experience, patient experience, it's all intertwined.
Yep.
All right. So with that, I'm Jennifer.
Corey.
See you next time on the Dr. Marketing Tips Show. Thanks a bunch.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening to the DrMarketingTips.com podcast. If there's anything from today's show you want to learn more about, check out DrMarketingTips.com for our podcast resource center with all the notes, links, and goodies we mentioned during the show. If you're not already a subscriber to our show, please consider pressing the subscribe button on your podcast player so you never miss one of our future episodes. And if you haven't given us a rating or review yet on iTunes, please find a spare minute and help us reach and educate even more of our medical practice peers. Thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Doctor's Orders.